God's grace and his peace to you from our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. On this day, as we celebrate two particular themes, as you can tell with all the palm branches in the church, we are celebrating Palm Sunday, that time in which Jesus said, yes, he was going to go to Jerusalem, yes, he was going to die, and as he was entering Jerusalem, something special happened. The people recognizing the wonderful things that he had done, in particular, the raising of Lazarus, were coming to honor him with the waving of the palm branches and the shouting of the glory of God, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. They wanted to make Jesus the King of Israel at that moment. They perceived him as our King. Now, the other theme, as you can probably tell by our worship service, because after the first couple pages, we moved into the Passion narrative. And you may be asking, why are we now picking up on two themes on one Sunday? Well, very traditionally, the Sunday before Easter was always that Palm Sunday. But for some people, especially who didn't come to Maundy Thursday and Good Friday or the Easter Vigil, they would have Palm Sunday, and then they would have the resurrection of Jesus, and they would have to ask, what happened in between? That's why we have Maundy Thursday and Good Friday, but for those who can't be here on those days, we pick up this passion narrative. The passion that, yes, Jesus shared a meal with his disciples, particularly the Passover. Yes, he was arrested in the garden. Yes, he was put on trial. Yes, he was actually, Pilate wanted to release him. He really wasn't found guilty, but to the political pressures of the Jews, had Jesus then crucified. And then you have the crucifixion narrative. Father, forgive them. And then committing his spirit and the centurion saying, surely this man was a righteous man. So now we blend these two particular themes together in one Sunday. Yes, there's an awful lot of ground to cover, an awful lot of theological ground. But I will admit this year it's probably a little bit easier. I don't know how many of you have seen the movie, so to speak. And I don't have to really go into too much details when I talk about the movie, because I even had someone come up to me in the hospital and said, have you seen the movie yet? And the first thought that came into my mind is, what movie are you talking about? He says, you know, the movie, Mel Gibson's movie, The Passion of the Christ. Oh, yeah. We live in a society nowadays that's so fixed upon that movie. If you haven't seen it, you probably know a lot of people who have seen it. And we don't even need to name the title anymore. We just talk about it as the movie. And yes, it is an emotional movie and makes the point very, very well as it picks up the last 12 hours of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And with that picture in mind, it's also a very graphic picture. And some people have asked me, Pastor, is that really what took place during the time of Jesus? And the truth of the matter is, probably so. Mel Gibson probably read the same books that I read during my seminary days that definitely outlined how gruesome crucifixion was and how gruesome the flogging was, very well depicted in the movie. So as we start focusing upon this Palm Sunday event and the Passion of our Lord leading up into Holy Week, some people have been starting to think, let's start thinking about the Passion of Christ. What does it really mean? And that's a fair question. What does it really mean? You see, some people, when they think about the Passion of Christ, start getting a little bit angry. The reason why they get angry is they get really frustrated with the Jewish religious leaders during the time, and they get frustrated also with Judas, saying, you know, why did these people have to do these things? They were so mean and they were so cruel. Unfortunately, people, when they start focusing that way, are usually the type of people who also complain about others. You see, what they're doing is they're complaining about other people, about the enemies in life, and saying, look, there's an enemy over there, and look, there's an enemy over there. This type of meditation on focusing upon the Passion of Christ, looking at the enemies of Christ, is not the best way to view the death of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Then there are some people, especially after seeing the movie, they focus upon the Passion of Christ and they want to buy all the things that they can find, you know, with the special prints of it, the t-shirts, the cups, the mugs, the other devotional materials that go along with it. They surround themselves with all the trinkets from the movie, and they think that they're studying the Passion of Christ. I'm not making this up, because right now in Christian bookstores, one of the hottest selling items is anything related to the movie. The Christian bookstores are making a mint off of this. Some people surround themselves with all these little trinkets, and they think they're doing the good deed of remembering the Passion of Christ. Well, yes, it was a wonderful movie, but we don't take that passion narrative and just condense it to a two-hour movie and say, now we're done with it. Then there's another group of people, and it's even included in our text from Luke chapter 23, who like to emotionally sympathize with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. They'll weep, they'll wail, they'll get all emotional, they'll get all teary-eyed, because they'll look at Jesus and they'll say, oh, he was so innocent, he didn't need to die. And in Luke chapter 23, beginning with verse 27, there was even this group of people there. And there followed him a great multitude of the people and women who were mourning and lamenting for him. But turning to them, Jesus said, daughters of Jerusalem, do not weep for me, but weep for yourselves and your children. Notice what Jesus does. He doesn't put the emotional baggage and saying that this is how we should be remembering the crucifixion. Quite the opposite. He doesn't say, don't weep for me. Don't get all emotional for me for being so innocent and going to the cross. Instead, weep for yourselves. You see, a flood of tears are not the right way to think about Christ's passions. At least not weeping for the innocent Jesus Christ. Yes, Jesus is innocent. He didn't deserve the death sentence. But when we start weeping for him, we start missing the whole entire point of why Jesus had to go to the cross. Yes, there should be weeping. And as Jesus correctly said, weeping for yourself. You see, let's put it this way. The correct way of looking at the Passion of Christ, his death, and the events leading up to that death, is what drove him there. Why did he have to die? Was it because he was innocent? No. Was it because Mel Gibson needed to make a lot of money off of a movie? The answer again is no. Was it really because of out of the anger of the Jewish people, or because Judas was such a mean, rotten disciple? Again, the answer is no. What drove him to the cross? Strangely enough, you did. I did. The title of this message is I Killed God. It was by my own sins that I killed God. It was my sins that drove Jesus to the cross. And every time we sin, we're like driving another spike into Jesus. Every time we sin, it's like adding one more of those thorns to that crown of thorns. Every time we sin, we are sort of adding more to that agony of Jesus Christ. It was our sins that drove Jesus to the cross. And that's how we're supposed to view the death of our Savior Jesus Christ. I am the one who killed God. It sounds kind of strange, but if you would ask, where would the Christians be during the time of Jesus on Palm Sunday? More than likely, we'd be those people waving those palm branches. And on the way out, you'll even get a little palm branch shaped in the form of a cross. We'd be there waving our palm branches, shouting, Hosanna, Hosanna to the Son of David. And then on Good Friday, we'd also be that same group of people that are now saying, crucify him, crucify him. Why? It's because of our sin. Especially because of our sinful nature, of who we are. This is who we are. It was our sins that drove Jesus to the cross. So we can truly say, I killed God. Now, just reading in the newspaper recently, I was reading an article written by a rabbi who viewed the movie, The Passion of Christ. And he was also picking up on the same sentiment that a lot of other Jewish people are picking up on, that this movie is anti-Semitic, that it's picking on the Jews, that it made the Jews look like the bad guys, so to speak. Well, if that's the Christian message that a lot of people are giving, I need to change that message right here and now. It wasn't the Jews that were the bad guy that drove Jesus to the cross. I'm the murderer. I'm the bad guy. I'm the one who drove Jesus to the cross. No, there's nothing anti-Semitic about it. You should be taking a look at the passion of Christ and saying, look what I caused Jesus to do, because it was my sin that drove him there. And once we get ourselves in that kind of correct framework, once we understand what the passion of Christ is really all about, God doesn't want to leave us there, because it's going to terrorize our hearts. It's going to fill our hearts with sorrow and saying, look what a rotten person I am. Now we have to unpack the mystery of the cross one more time. Yes, our sins caused Jesus to die on the cross, but why did Jesus go to that cross? Our sins drove him there, but ultimately he went to that cross because he loves each and every one of us. Because you have a place with him in heaven above. Jesus wanted to pay the price for our sins. He had to die so that God could pour out his wrath upon him. And if you've seen the movie, now you've been able to get a little bit of a picture of God's wrath. Yes, God hates sin, and he had to take it out upon Jesus Christ, because he wants you, each and every one of you, he actually wants all people, all his created people, to be with him in heaven above. And there's only one way that he could look at each one of you straight in the eye. And that's because his wrath for all our sins was poured out upon Jesus. Yes, God wants us to be with him in heaven above. God wants to be able to look at us as his dearly beloved children, but he couldn't do that because of our sins until Jesus died on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins. So on this day, as we take a look at the Passion of Christ, as we take a look at that Palm Sunday event, we have to realize, yeah, we want to sing the Hosanna, Hosanna to the Son of David, and amen. But we also have to realize we're the ones that were shouting just as loud, crucify, crucify. Because we are the murderers that Jesus died for. We were the criminals who deserved to be on the left and the right hand of God. We were the ones deserving that death and damnation. But God said, no, I love you so much, I'm willing to die for you. So on this day, as we celebrate this Passion, as we celebrate this Palm Sunday, we give thanks to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ that he was willing to die for us, willing to give us that strength to believe and trust in him, and says, by the way, the next time that you're sort of down and out, the next time you feel like life is sort of crucifying you, the next time you feel like you have no more energy left and you feel like the whole world is ganging up on you, again, remember the cross. Yes, our sins drove Jesus there, but why? Because God loves you. And if God loves you so much, he was willing to, and did die for you, obviously he's not going to leave you alone in your personal suffering. He's going to be there. And he says, I'm going to be there to strengthen you. I'm going to give you my word. But even more than that, I'm going to give you my very true body and blood. The same body and blood that was put upon the cross is now shed for us in the bread and the wine. The same passion of Christ, the same love of Christ that drove him to the cross is now given to us in this bread and the wine for the forgiveness of our sins and the strengthening of our faith. This is why Jesus was sent. For you, for me, for people who are considered murderers, now considered brothers and sisters of Christ, children of the Heavenly Father. So when we get down and out, and we feel like the whole world is ganging up on us, and we feel like we're before the whole crowd, and the crowd is yelling at us, crucify him, we ask the Lord for that strength, the strength that he gives through this very true body and blood of Christ, in with and under the bread and the wine, the Lord's Supper, to realize that, yes, God does love us. Even in the midst of great pain and agony of our own lives, Christ suffered so that we could be with him in heaven above. And we ask God to give us that strength, that love, that he has for all people, so that we also can look to our enemies and say, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they do. And to put our lives also in the Father's hands, as Jesus said, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. Yes, Jesus is our God, our Savior, the one who delivers us from sin, death, and the devil, the one who redeems us, the one who gives us life, even though we deserve death. And because he gives us this life, we are so important. He doesn't abandon us. He doesn't leave us. But he wants to be there by our side to strengthen us, to preserve us through life's trials, so that in the end, when our time finally comes, we will be with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, forever and ever. Yes, I killed God because of my sins. But through that death and through that resurrection, I am now given eternal life. This is the message we bring on Palm Sunday. And as we celebrate the Passion of our Lord, this is the message that carries us through the rest of Holy Week and into Easter. The message that the world still needs to hear, that God loves them so much, he died for them. In Jesus' name, amen. Now the peace of God that surpasses all our understanding will continue to guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.